Let's give the sophomores 500 points.
Michigan 5.
I just lost a fourth of my crowd. The freshmen are staring at me. It's good to see Brother Bachman down here. I should have noticed you with, you know, in a suit and tie and amongst this, but I always enjoyed listening to Brother Bachman preach when I was a student in chapel, and to this day, I would probably, without a doubt, say our number one course that we get most compliments on, Hiles Anderson Online College, is Pastoral Epistles that you taught, and constant on the surveys, just great Bible teacher, and appreciate all the years you taught here at the college and the influence you had on my life while I was on staff, and good to see you here. I'm sorry having to sit next to Jeremy. Hopefully don't be in the tic-tac-toe race or you might break your leg like he did. And I appreciate that introduction by Brother Collins. I'm surprised that the best he didn't call me anything worse than a moron like I called him yesterday. But today I just want to, just a reminder, Highlander football, not soccer, real football. Today, 1:30, all men. I think there's about 70 of you playing in Highlander football this year. I'm glad to have, after 4 years hiatus of no football, I'm glad that we finally have some real men that have decided to play football. And so at 1:30 today, there'll be a meeting on the football field. You'll get your jersey, meet with your captain. You'll pick up your shoulder pads. And the first game is tomorrow, and Bears versus the Packers. So make sure, just a reminder there, 1:30 today on the football field. All right, let's turn in your Bible today to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 27, and I'm just going to briefly point out a few different verses. Parts of some, and then I'll begin reading in verse 47 from that point on. But I do want to point out just a few verses here, starting in verse 27 of Luke chapter number 6. It says, "But I say unto you which hear," and that's a good word there, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." Verse 28, "Bless them that curse you, and then pray for them which despitefully use you." Then drop down to verse number 30. It says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Verse 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Then drop down to verse 35. It says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Then drop down in verse 47. It says, "Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Of course, you know, we all sing the song, "Wise man built his house upon a rock, and a foolish man built his house upon a sand." But I want to talk to you today about, what are you building? Before I do get into that, I want to look to two more references. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. Oh, man. Luke chapter 14. Would you still say it if I said Luke 1:4? I mean, okay. Luke 14 and verse 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Then I want to look over into one more passage of Scripture, Hebrews 3 and verse number 4. Hebrews 3, verse 4. Hebrews 3, verse 4. It says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." All these verses have to do with building, and I just want to talk to you just for a little while and preach to you a little bit about what are you building, or are you a builder? And before we do that, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these students. I thank you for your love, their love for you. I thank you for the fact that they came here to college, whether it was sophomore, junior, senior. I pray that you just help them to listen to your word as it's preached today, help them to apply what's preached to their life, helping to forget about all the things that have gone on today, all the good fun that we've had. I pray you just help them to focus on your word as it's preached today. Speak through me. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to flip this on, brother. When my daughters were just little girls, we decided one summer to get a little wading pool. And so we got a little wading pool that had a little, it looked like a shark sticking out of the end of it. And it was just about, about 2 feet around. And just big enough for Caitlin, who was about 2 at the time, to sit in there and just kind of cool down in the summer. And we got the little shark, and you hooked a hose up to it. And the water sprayed, actually I think it was a whale. And the water sprayed out the top of the whale and sprayed down and sprinkled down onto her. And she would get in there, and she'd splash around. And I'd get in there, kind of. I'd lean over the side. But and we got that little wading pool, and we had a lot of fun with that. But then when the next summer came and she was 3, that little tiny little pool just didn't cut it. So we got a little bit bigger pool. It was a little square one. It was about a foot deep or so and about 4 feet long. You get from Walmart. And we put that in the backyard. And my daughter would splash around in that, and she enjoyed it. And every year, we would go to the store in the pool section, and we'd get a little bit bigger pool. And I remember when my second daughter got to where she was old enough to kind of be outside in the pool, we kind of jumped up to a little bit bigger pool, one of those little pools that has a little ring that goes around it, and you inflate the ring, and then as the water fills up, it kind of fills the pool up, and it was about 6 feet across and about a foot and a half deep or so. And they loved that pool. And my wife and I would try to get in there with them, you know, and just kind of play around. We had a lot of fun with that pool. Well, as the years went by, it finally got to the point where I had to get a pretty good-sized pool. So I got, again, one of those that has the inflatable ring. But this time it was 13 feet across, and it was 33 inches deep, I think is what the dimension was. And we sat that pool up in the backyard, and you could actually jump into it, you know, and have fun. You could actually take one stroke, and you could actually take one full stroke and before you hit the other side. And I remember how big that thing was. It took almost 1,000 gallons of water. And I remember I set that pool up, and the girls had fun all summer long, and then at the about midpoint of middle to end of June, my wife and I went on summer tour with the Honor and Majesty Tour Group. And we were traveling that summer for 3.5 weeks. And so we traveled for 3.5 weeks. And when we got back from tour, we got home and we looked out in our backyard. And there was a 13-foot by 33-inch swamp in our backyard. I mean, it was as mucky and green and slimy as can be. Well, at this point, it was, middle of July or so, and then we had youth conference, and finally I drained the pool out, and I said, you know, it's so late in the summer, there's no reason to clean the whole thing. I'll clean it all out, and we'll put it away for the summertime, so I did. After I took the pool down, there was a big, now 13 feet across, dead section of grass in my yard. And so I said to myself, I'm going to put this away, and I tilled it up, put the grass seed down, and I nicely fixed it and started running the sprinkler on it. And a couple weeks later, my grass had grown back into that 13-foot section of my backyard. I looked at that, and I thought, you know, after I mowed it one day, I said, finally, that's all fixed. And we were at the end of the summer now. It was right before Labor Day. And my daughters came out, and they said, Dad, it's supposed to be 95 degrees tomorrow. Dad, can you, any way you can please bring that pool back out? And I said, man, the grass, I just fixed the grass. I said, no, let's not do that. And they began to beg and plead and give me hugs and tell me I was the greatest dad in the world. So I said, okay, I'll bring it back up. We'll set it up for tomorrow. Well, that Sunday afternoon, I brought it out of the shed, and I thought, man, I do not want to kill that grass again. So all of a sudden, I had this brilliant idea. I'm going to take my pool, and we have about a, 25 to 30-foot long deck that goes across the entire back of our house. Okay. I was going to wear red tomorrow, but I think I've changed my mind. So I had this great idea. I said, you know, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to take my pool. I'm going to set it up on my deck. We'll have my grill right here next to it, and we can cook hot dogs, hamburgers, and we'll fill the pool up. Girls will swim in the pool. I won't kill my grass. Everybody's happy. I'm happy. The girls are happy, and, I'm cooking on the grill tomorrow. It's going to be a great time. So I set that thing up. I blew it up, and I'll never forget my – lovely wife came to the back when my girls were taking a nap, and she came to the back, and she just looked, and looked at what I was doing, and I said, what? And she didn't say anything. She just said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting the pool up here on the deck, and we're gonna, I'm just going to let the girls play in it tomorrow rather than kill my grass. She didn't say anything. She was a very quiet, submissive wife. She just walked back inside, and I thought, I don't know what that was all about. And I put the thing in there, and I began running the hose into my 1,000-gallon pool. I went into my bedroom and lay down, which our bedroom is on the back of the house right next to the deck, and I began to – there's Brother Fish, my next-door neighbor. He can attest to this story. I began to fill the pool with water, and about an hour had passed, and I was sound asleep. I was dreaming about – cooking hot dogs and hamburgers and my girls splashing around in the pool and having a great time and how I'd get a giant ribbon that said world's greatest dad, and I was just thrilled about it. And then all of a sudden I hear this gigantic crash. I mean, it sounded like lightning had split a tree wide open. And as soon as I heard it, I knew what it was. I don't know why, but I just knew what it was. I jumped up out of bed, go running through my house, as my wife's sitting on the couch and just kind of watches as I run through. I run to the back door, swing our back deck doors open, and there is my deck. Completely collapsed. Every 2x10 split in half. All the boards cracked in half. And the first thing I did is run over and turn the water spigot off. I have no idea what I thought good that was going to do. But I shut the water off, and I began to look at the damage that had just happened. And I remember I was looking at the deck, and I thought to myself, you know what? That was one stupid, stupid idea. And my wife walked out the back door, and she just looked. And looked at my entire deck, smashed and collapsed. And she didn't say anything. That's the worst. She didn't say anything. She just walked back inside. And I looked and thought, well, what was that all about? She walked back inside. Just a minute or so later, my daughter, Caitlin, walks out, and she looks at this giant hole and collapsed deck, and the pool split in half by the board shredding it. And she just looks at it, and she goes, huh, guess we ain't swimming tomorrow. And I about wanted to, you know, I was already just wounded. Well, that deck totally collapsed. And I remember thinking to myself, man, what am I going to do now? And I thought, I'm going to have to rebuild this thing. I mean, you can't even walk out the back door without this is just a mess. I remember thinking to myself, I need to rebuild this deck. And I remember a few days later looking out and saying, I need to rebuild this deck. And I remember a month later saying, I need to rebuild this deck. And by that time, I think my wife was saying, honey, maybe you need to rebuild the deck. No, I don't think she did. But I remember continually looking and saying, man, I need to build this deck. But, man, I've never built hardly any. I just, you know, it's not like I got a contractor's belt on in my office as I'm working for Dr. Evans. I just thought to myself, I don't know how to build. And so finally one day I remember it was after work one day, I drove to Home Depot. And I had taken one of the little clamps for the board. I had measured one of the broken boards there. And I remember I'm in a suit and tie, and I walk in, and I walk into Home Depot, and this guy walks up to me, and he says, what do you need? And he was a worker there, and I said, I'm building something. And he asked me what I was building, and I then began to explain to him what happened. And I had to relive the entire story over again. And I remember him telling me, well, let me see, what all do you need? What kind of boards were they? And I didn't have the answers. I didn't know, because I'd never built anything before. But, you know, that deck is a lot like we are in our life. All of us have to realize that we're all builders. All of us are builders. You might say, but, man, I've never built a house before. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about if you're a college student here today, whether you're a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or a senior, you're all building something. And I just put down, I think there's six points here regarding a builder. I put number one, to be a builder, you must first have something to build. All of us don't have that problem. All of us have something that you're building today. Whether you think you do or not, you're building something. I put down just a few things you're building. Number one, all of you today are building a reputation. If you're a freshman today, you're building a reputation whether you know it or not. You might say, no, nobody knows who I am. You're building a reputation. I took over discipline this year. And one of the areas of discipline, if you go through the discipline file, there's a little place right there, and Brother Lutz knows what I'm saying. It's two words. It says see file. And that says to look in that person's file to see what the issue was. And, you know, all of you in this room, you're building a file here at Hiles Anderson College. You're building a file on not just your grades. You're not building a file just on the number of souls you've won. You're not building a file just on how many demerits you accrue. You're building a file based on what your work ethic is like. You know, when you go to teleperformance, or whether you go to a place, a trucking place, or wherever it might be that you go to, you're building a reputation that's going to follow you throughout the entire time you're here at college. You might say, well, it's not that big of a deal if I just walk into class late a few times or skip that class or maybe call into work sick one day. I'm telling you, all that goes into the reputation of put your name in that spot. I was duty administrator on Sunday night, and I was checking through rooms. And I walked through a couple rooms, and a couple of them I looked at, and I said to myself, oh, my word, who in the world lives in here? And then I walked to a room, and I looked at it, and I thought, my word, this room is immaculate. And I thought, who in the world lives in this room? And I looked, and it was, I'm not sure what his first name is, but Aaron King's son. Where are you at in this room? Where are you at? Back here? I said to myself, man, this guy's room is immaculate. And that's he's building a reputation. In my mind, hey, the guy's clean. He's neat. All of you think, hey, it's not that big of a deal if I just don't clean my room or don't make my bed. All those things go into the reputation that you put your name there, fill in the spot. When you decide today, hey, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go visit a movie theater, and I don't think I'll get caught. Remember, your reputation is following you.
Do you know, I can't imagine, I know how long it takes to build my deck because I rebuilt it. But, you know, I know how long it took. It took day after day after day, taking all the screws out of all the boards that were broken so that I could get it all cleared out of there so that I could put new boards and new trusses in and run new deck boards. And how long it took and how much sweat and how much effort and how much time it took to rebuild that deck. You know, your reputation takes time to build. It'll take you 4 years of college for maybe us to sit in a meeting one day and say, yeah, so-and-so, hey, I'd recommend him to be an assistant pastor or pastor someday. Guy's got a great record, impeccable. He's got character. He's trustworthy. He's honest. He's holy. All of you might say, hey, it's not going to matter if I just do this one thing. It only takes 1 second for your reputation to be ruined forever. It took one bad decision for that deck to be completely wiped out and collapsed. You might be sitting here today saying, Brother Bailey, it's just one little thing I'm tempted to do, and nobody will find out. Your reputation could end today. It could be ruined today by one decision you make. It could be that friend you decide, hey, it's okay if I'm buddy-buddy with them at work. Maybe they're unsaved. And you say, yeah, hey, they asked me to go out with them after work tonight. It's not going to hurt if I just go to B-dubs with them, maybe just spend a little time with them. It's one decision. It was one decision that ruined that deck. All of us are building something. You're building your future. You're building your relationships with those that you interact with. Right now, hopefully, you've begun to build a relationship with the Lord all through your life. But I truly believe that when you come to Bible college, that's the time that you really have to make a decision. Am I going to build my relationship with the Lord? When your parents aren't there to say, hey, did you read your Bible today, son? Or when your mom and dad aren't there at night to say, everybody take out your Bibles, let's have family devotions. When it's just you in that dorm room in the morning, and just you looking at that alarm clock saying, do I really want to get up right now and read my Bible? Do I really want to get up right now and pray? I mean, after all, nobody's going to see except maybe my roommate. Nobody's going to see if I walk with the Lord. Everybody's going to see if I turn in my paper, my teacher will. Everybody's going to see if I have a full bus on the weekend. Everybody's going to see if I look great. But not everyone's going to see if you walk with God. It's today while you're in college that you have to make the decision. Am I going to build a relationship with the Lord? If you're going to make it through Hiles Anderson College, you better start building a relationship with God. You can maybe not have the nicest clothes. You might not have the biggest bank account, but you better have a walk with the Lord. You better have a relationship with God that you can look back on and say, man, I'm glad I was building that relationship all through college. Freshman, you need to start building that relationship with the Lord today. If you say, I haven't started, today is the day to start. If you're going to be, everyone that's going to be a builder, you have to have something you're going to build. You're going to build not only things for yourself, but you're going to build the lives of others. I hope that all of you, whether you're a freshman or a senior, have already started this year building the life of someone else. I hope that on Saturdays you have gone out and you've begun to see what it's like to begin to build the life of someone. Maybe it's a teenager that you're working with on your bus route, trying to get them to go to the Sunday afternoon program. Maybe it's a 4 or 5 year old boy that or girl that you just met the first Saturday we were here, and you went on a bus route, even if it was Division 14, and you went on that division, and you began, and you found that boy and girl, and they couldn't give you anything. They didn't have anything to give to you. And you said, you know what, I'm going to begin to build this child's life. They might not have anyone else trying to build their life. Their mom and dad may not care the least about them. They may have a dad who drinks every night and a mom who spends the night with a different man every night of the week, but they look forward to every week you coming by and saying, I want to build your life. I hope that when you get through to the point where you're a senior and you're down here in front, I hope you can get through the end of your college career and you can say, I built the life of that person and that person and that person, and if it wasn't for me, they would not have been built. All of us can build something. Number two, to be a builder, you must have the right tools. You must have the right tools. You know, when I began to take apart my deck, I had to have a few tools. I had this drill. And by the time I got done with it, my fingers were, I mean, there was, I can't remember, I used to have the number, but there were hundreds and thousands of screws in those deck boards. I had to take them all out to get them all undone because half of them were split, and I remember unscrewing everything. Then I remember taking this and this skill saw, and I had not used it in like 10 years. And I remember this was one year we took the gym floor out in the gym, Brother Staub and I, and he bought two skill saws. And he and I cut up the entire gym floor. And I remember I helped him with that job. And when we got all done, he said, Brother Bailey, he said, because you helped me do this, he said, I'm going to let you keep this skill saw. And I remember from that point until the day I took this thing out to rebuild my deck, I had never used this skill saw. It was rusted. And I took this skill saw out, but I had to have this saw to be able to get the job done, to cut the boards to where they needed to be. Then I had to have, I took out a hammer because a lot of them, the screws were so stuck in there, I had to pry them off and smash them off. And I had to have a good hammer. I had to have, I had a tape measure. I had to make sure everything was right. Cold, so help us. But I had a tape measure. All these different things. If you're going to be a builder, you need to have the right tools. When you come to college, there's all kinds of tools that you can get. You might say, yeah, I know, I go to class every day. I'm not talking about just your classes. I know I go on the ministry on the weekends. I'm not talking about your ministry, though that's important. That's a huge tool. I'm talking about some afternoon, why don't you go out to Brother Pfeiffer and say, hey, Brother Pfeiffer, I'd like to learn how you make these grounds look so good. How about you go out to the bus garage and say, Brother Swarty, can I just volunteer 2 hours a week spending time with you and just kind of learn a little bit about how to take care of a bus? Can I learn how to change the oil on a bus? Can I learn how to change a tire on a bus? Why don't you go to Brother Wolf and say, hey, Brother Wolf, I see all the hard work you do around here at the college in maintenance. Brother Wolf, can you let me just spend a couple hours with you a week? I'd love to learn how to drywall. I'd love to learn how to mud and tape. How about I'll donate my time. Or you could go to a Valentine play or a banquet and help Brother Collins volunteer to set up the banquet and to learn how a banquet's put on. So many different things that you can do. Harvest Fest, Christmas lights. Learn how to put on activities. Learn how to do different things. Don't just say, hey, I'm coming here for just this one. If you're a pastoral theology major, take some education classes. Take some missions courses. Don't just think, hey, this is the one thing I'm coming here to do, and I know that's what. You never know what things you might need to have in your toolbox. You never know when you're going to need that skill saw right there, even though it's been sitting for 10 years. All of us need to make sure we get the right kind of tools. I remember I was, one summer, I was back home at the summer after my freshman year. I went home for that summer, and my pastor at the time was Pastor Mike Cox. And I remember I went that summer, I was at home, and I was working at my dad at a factory, Marillac Cabinets. But I remember there would be afternoons, I worked second shift, and there would be afternoons I would go to the church, and I was kind of, not an intern, I wasn't paid, but I was kind of, I asked Pastor Cox if I could come and just kind of help him and be in, kind of work underneath him and learn about the ministry. And he said, sure. So I remember I worked with him for a few weeks. And I remember one week he was, one day I was, he told me he wanted me to weed eat all around, do all the yard work around the church with a weed eater. And that week I had clean toilets. That week I had mowed the grass. That week I had spread mulch. That week I had done all just different kinds of things. I remember I was walking across the parking lot one day with Mike Cox, and he looked at me and he said, hey, you don't look real happy about this. And I said, no, I'm good. And he said, no. He said, you look like you're, ever since I said we're going to weed eat today, I wanted you to weed eat today, you look kind of like you're ticked off. I said, no, I'm not ticked off. He said, I think you are ticked off. He said, matter of fact, you know what I think it is? He said, I think that you think that the ministry is all about preaching. I think that you think the ministry is all about hospital visitation. He said, I think that you think because you finished a freshman year of college that the ministry is all about door knocking. The ministry is all about leading, singing. He said, let me tell you, son, the ministry is about hard work. The ministry is about making sure the yard looks good at the church property. The ministry is about making sure you got clean bathrooms in the church building. He said, the ministry is about serving others. You know, that's what I learned that summer. I learned that I needed every tool that I could get in my toolbox. You never know what you might need to have. Number next, I put down, to be a builder, you got to get started. You got to get started. You know, I built that deck finally, I think, my wife could probably tell you, I think it was a year and a half later. I finally finished my deck, only because a man in my Sunday school class just offered to help me, and so he kind of got me motivated. But I finally, after about a year and a half, replaced my deck. And it wasn't but until I was telling this story one time this past summer, and somebody said, did you ever think about calling the insurance company? They probably would have replaced your entire deck and give you a brand new one. Never thought about that one time, how stupid that was. They just rubbing salt in the wound. But the other, about 2 months ago, I had on my hands another great job to build, another building opportunity. I know that one day we went to run water in our bathroom, and it didn't go down. I thought to myself, man, what in the world? This toilet is not, the toilet needs to be, so I'm plunging the toilet, nothing's going down. Water in the tub, nothing's going down. Think to myself, great, my sewer's clogged up. So I call the plumber, he comes out, and he rods my main sewer line, and he said, there's something, it's not quite right, it didn't go through. He said, and my blades, my cutter's coming back with some clay on it. He said, that's not a good sign. He said, but it's open for now. I thought, okay, that's good. And about 2 weeks later, same thing. My daughter's taking a shower. Dad, the water, I'm taking a bath now. And I went in there, and the water's all up again, and I thought to myself, man, there's a problem. So I called the guy back out. He said, I'm going to videotape your line. You got to have a break somewhere. So he ran a video camera out through there. And there was about four or five breaks in my clay tile from my house out to where it finally met in at a T with the city's PVC. He said, you have about 15 feet of sewer that needs to be replaced. He said, now I can replace it for $1,500. I'll dig it up, we'll replace it, $1,500. I said to myself, $1,500? You're crazy. I mean, it was 15 feet, I can dig that up. And he said, okay, fine. He said, I can come back and help you replace it and just charge you for the materials. And it was a friend of mine, he said, just charge you for the materials and I'll just kind of supervise while you do it. I said, fine, that's what I'll do right there. And so now I had another building project. I took my shovel and I began digging this sewer up. It was about 3.5 feet down into the ground. And again, Brother Fish is my neighbor. He can attest to this story. We get along great. And Brother Fish, every day I'd be digging. Brother Fish would just be looking, hey, you're doing a good job there, Andy. And drinking a Coke and while I'm sweating. And but I remember for about 2.5 weeks, I went out and I dug a little bit every day. But not till I, for about a week, just kept thinking, I need to dig that sewer up. I need to dig that sewer up. And I just didn't want to get started because I didn't want to have to go into the hard work it was going to take. I remember I finally dug it up. He came over this past Saturday. Unfortunately, it began to rain, it had rained the day before just a little bit. And as I dug it up, well, it had been saturated underground. So that 15-foot trench then, now as I stood in it, was more up to my knees in mud and everything else. And I remember those clay tiles there. At one point, it got to the point where he said, okay, now you're going to have to, and he just sat in a chair while I worked down in this 15-foot trench. He said, now you got to break the clay tiles up. I said, okay. You mean like break them up, break them up? He said, yeah, like break them up. And as I broke the clay tiles up, you can imagine they were full of everything. And this was just a great building opportunity. So now I have 15 feet of just mud and all kinds of other stuff in there. And it's unbelievable. Finally, I got the last one out, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, well, at least all that's out of there. How much worse can it get? And all of a sudden, we have a Dalmatian dog that was my wife's birthday present for her anniversary and birthday. And a beautiful black and white Dalmatian. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, my daughter lets the Dalmatian out of our back door. And that Dalmatian comes flying, I mean, as fast as she could. Her name's Belle. And Belle comes flying as fast as she could around the side of the yard, right to where I was at. I mean, she wanted to come see me. And, I mean, she takes a flying leap, splat, right into the 15-foot trench of water and everything else. And splatters it all over me while my plumber is sitting there just laughing hysterically at me, drinking a Coke. man, this is worth it. You should have spent $1,500 paying me instead. All of us have to decide, I'm going to get started building what you need to build. It might be that you say, hey, I'm a sophomore, and I didn't have a real good building opportunity my freshman year. I built a bad reputation. Today's the day to say, I'm going to start today to build what I need to build. I'm going to start today to build my reputation. I'm going to start today to influence and build the lives of others around me. I'm going to start today to have a good influence with my roommates. I'm going to start today. All of us have to decide, if you're going to be a builder, you got to get started. Next, I put down, to be a builder, you have to be patient. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Then I'll read 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren. Now we exhort you, brethren, them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. If you're going to be a builder, you have to be patient. People's lives aren't going to be able to be built just like that overnight. I remember I was, and I know I'm aware of the time, I'll be shutting down in just a minute. I was in Portage, I was a bus captain in Portage during most of my college and early staff time. And I remember I went to a trailer park one day and there was a man laying underneath a car. And he had loud music playing, he had a bunch of Bud Light sitting out next to the car. And I remember I walked up and I flipped the music off. And all of a sudden, he comes rolling out from underneath the car and starts screaming at me. And what do you think you're doing? And I probably wasn't the best approach. And he said, what do you think you're doing? I said, I just wanted to invite you to church. He said, get off my property. I don't have a time for church. He had long hair and was drinking and obviously had been drinking quite a bit. And I said, well, can I just ask you something before I leave? He said, sure. What do you want to ask me? I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And he said, I don't want to hear another word out of your mouth. Get off my property. And as I went to leave his property, as a freshman in college, not knowing any better, I said, well, go to hell then. And that was not the wisest thing to do. He got very upset, started running after me with his wrench. And I'll never forget thinking to myself, boy, Andy, that was stupid. Almost as stupid as the deck. But I remember I, throughout that week, thought to myself, why did I say that to him? What was that going to accomplish? It made me feel cool or around the worker that was with me. And all that week, I remember praying and saying, hey, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Can you please give me an opportunity to influence and be able to reach this man anyway? I remember the next week, we went by, and there he was. I saw him laying underneath his car. And so I ran up to the corner gas station. I got a big thing of Bud Light. No, not kidding. I got a big thing of bottled water. And I walked up to him. I didn't turn his music off. I just kind of rolled the water underneath the car. And he sat up, and he rolled out, and he said, what's this? Oh, you again. I said, well, it's hot out today. I thought maybe you could use it. And he just kind of looked at it and opened it. He said, oh, thanks. And said, what were you telling me about last week? Where are you from? So I began to tell him. And I remember week after week, I went by and tried to reach that man. It didn't just happen overnight. But after about 2 months, he allowed me to give him the gospel. And I remember after I gave him the gospel, he got saved. And he said, how don't you come inside and tell my wife that? He said, you know, I'm married. My wife, she's handicapped. She can't walk. She's paralyzed from the waist down. Her name was Marilyn. His name was Greg. I remember I walked in and I talked to Marilyn. She loved Elvis Presley. And I remember saying to her, the first thing I ever said, she laughed at everything and made me feel good. And I remember I said to her, I said, Marilyn, I can do a great Elvis Presley impersonation. And she just laughed. And I said, no, really, I can. This is my best impersonation of him. And she didn't like that, really. But I remember that day, Marilyn, she got saved. And I remember they started riding my bus, E-140. And they rode my bus for just several years, many years. He got his hair cut. I remember they both got baptized. And I remember the day that they had to take several people to help her get baptized, and she got baptized. And I often think back, I'm glad that God was patient with me. That I didn't handle them the right way, but that God gave me another chance. You know, everyone that you're working with, if you're trying to build the life of someone else, it's going to take patience. All of us are going to have to say, hey, I'm going to be patient. Because remember, God was patient with us. Lastly, I just want to ask, just in closing, I just want to say, there's a few more points, but I'm out of time. I just want to say, give these last couple points. To be a builder, you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You got to keep at it. And to be a builder, it's going to take a lot of hard work. 1 Corinthians 3:7-9 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. All of you are building something today. Ask yourself while you're sitting there in the seat, what am I building? What kind of reputation am I building? If you're a freshman and you get to be a senior, and we're sitting around trying to decide, hey, these people need to fill a assistant pastor, here's some names, who do we recommend? What's your record going to say 4 years from now? If you're a sophomore or a junior, say, man, I haven't built a very good reputation, decide today I'm going to go out and I'm going to rebuild my reputation. Are you building the life of someone around you? Or are you just worried about yourself? Maybe you're worried about your job or your finances or your grades or if that girl likes you or if that guy likes you. But what are you building? All of us, and from what I can tell from just working with you the first few weeks of college, y'all really love the Lord. Y'all have a good spirit. I'm proud of each and every one of you. Some of you have already made some mistakes, and you've already been in my office. And I've already looked at you and said, you know what? Don't let this destroy you. God can still use you. Because God's patient. He's the master builder of our life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty you've had, no matter what you're dealing with, God can build anything. All you have to do is just let him help you. And he'll help you build what you need to build. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to ask.